Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor, the communication doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do. Hello, this is Real Stories and I am your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor. Today I'm really excited because I have Abby Adams with me, and Abby Adams is a movement coach and she focuses on the whole philosophy of upgrading the way that people communicate. So hello Abby and welcome.
Hello Tanya, good to be here.
It's lovely to talk to you today, really lovely to talk to you. And I'm going to dive in deep because just from what you've just said to me, upgrade the way we communicate, that's just really strong. Now, what do you mean by that when you say to people, I want to upgrade the way we communicate? What's that mean to you?
Well, to me, it's, you know, our bodies offer way more in communication than just our words. A lot of people just think that they rely on what they're saying with their mouths, but actually your body communicates with more power than your words. And when you combine that movement with your words, you're singing. I have, from my own personal experiences, used movement to really transform my life, you know, to move out all of the trauma from childhood, all of the abuse, personal abuse with drink and drugs and certain experiences in my 20s, all with the power of movement. And from that movement, I realized how I was communicating with myself, which was really negative. It was really negative. And a lot of people are now aware of this internal narrative of, you know, basically bullying yourself. And through that movement, through using movement, I've been able to clean that up, to upgrade the way that I talk to myself and communicate with myself, because it all starts from there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The way that I speak to myself, the way that I treat myself really is how I am projecting myself out to the world. And that's what people feel and see.
You know what? I'm so excited, Abby, because, you know, my background is dance, as you know, and as a lot of my listeners know, and that whole idea of kind of using movement as a healing space, I can really relate to that myself in terms of just feeling free, you know, when you're in a dance studio, when it's dance for self as well, and in terms of that kind of way of self-expressing yourself, you know, there's different forms of dancing. You know, you'd be outside, you'd be dancing in the club, and sometimes when you're dancing in the club, it's like sometimes you could be letting go of something from the day. It's like you could have had a hard day and you've gone out and you had a dance when you're in your 20s, you could let go. And then when you get older, and if you're doing it and you're in the dance studio, you could be having a tough day. And I remember going to dance class at 9 o'clock in the morning, and just the minute the music comes on and you do the first breath, you know, because you do your contemporary background, breathe. Yeah. You just feel it, don't you? And your whole body just feels like it's opening up. So I think that's really, really lovely. But I'm just going to dial back a little bit because, you know, you said it's really helped you with regards to the trauma. And I know you're a movement coach. So I want to go back to that trauma and that experience that you had that has kind of allowed you to use dance to communicate in that way. So basically to see how you got to that point that you thought, okay, I want to use movement as a way to coach people. So how did you deal with movement and trauma? So can you explain that to me?
Yeah, sure. So going back to when I was younger, my stepfather had a drink and a drug issue, and there was a lot of emotions going on at that point, and it was directed towards us as a family, and it was very traumatic. It was quite a terrifying environment to be living in, and my way of dealing with that was to be the joker, to be accepted. And as I grew up, I took that with me. So I was always the joker, always the one having fun, always the one trying to make the situation better. I was always trying to make someone or an experience better. And that carried through everything. You know, I couldn't allow anything bad to happen because of the experiences that I'd had in the past. Because if I allowed that bad experience to continue, that would have led to, you know, physical abuse, to being thrown out, to a really eruptive, terrifying experience. Does that make sense?
No, totally. I mean, what I'm picking up is that's a huge responsibility to carry, being the joker, and that must be really tough, like trying to be pleasant. But I suppose it's a coping mechanism as well. So when you're laughing about things or you're just letting things go, it's a coping mechanism. Because if you're not laughing, you're crying, right? So what's a kind of responsibility? And for me, as you're talking, that just feels quite heavy. So were you quite young when all of this happened?
Yeah. So yeah, I was, you know, about 8 when it started to happen.
Yeah.
And that went through school years, through work. And then I went through this blaming my parents, you know, so much hate was coming out. And I just didn't want to live like that. I didn't want to live like that. It was doing nothing for me. And it was kind of driving me into this drink and drugs and you know, an unsavory way of living that was doing nothing for me whatsoever. You know, I'd wake up with these awful hangovers, and deep down I knew this wasn't the way I wanted to live, but I was caught in this cycle. Because when you blame, you just keep going through that wheel, don't you? Constantly, repeating. And then I got into, whilst I was working in the corporate world, I got into yoga, and I started to train in yoga. I went to India and I was there, I lived there for 2 months. Yeah. And then the big turning point was when I went to Miami and I studied mixed movement. And I never forget, it was a huge warehouse set up. And with the mobility class, with mobility, you'd learn like all these different moves and you'd have to put a sequence together. And at the end of this class, you had to go across the room with everyone watching. And I remember getting down to go across and freezing with the shame. Like, I could feel the shame tingling through my body. Yeah. If I didn't get this right, everyone was gonna hate me. Mm. I had to get this right. Yeah. I had to make everyone happy. Like I said earlier, I had to make this a happy situation, a good situation. I had to be a really good girl. Mm. And that's when I realized the power of movement and how it can transform the way you are feeling about yourself, the communication that you are offering to yourself, and how that resonates outwards. Because if you don't feel good enough...
Oh, it's lovely. It's baby. We've got baby with us as well. So it's a podcast for free. That's brilliant. The baby's getting involved. She's saying she feels it. She understands. Brilliant.
The way you communicate, the way you are communicating with yourself, people feel it.
Yes,
feel it, whether you say it or not.
Yeah.
So, and that was the big eye opener for me, and that's what took me even deeper into movement. Because studying yoga, I thoroughly enjoyed it, but for me to fixate on a certain position didn't do anything for me. I wanted to know how to move, how to fluidly move through my body, to move any emotions out of my body, not hold on to them.
Okay, that, you know what, I totally get that. I just want to go back, because you said a couple of things with regards to mixed movement and also with regards to yoga, and there may be some people listening that maybe don't understand or don't see it in the same way. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but if for the people that don't know, can you explain what mixed movement is, and also with regards to the yoga that you were training in, what sort of yoga was that, so we can get a visual of that difference? First of all, I love the idea that you studied mixed movement in America, in LA. So could you just tell us what that is for the people that maybe don't know?
Sure. So I went to Budokan Mixed Movement, and their philosophy is combining the art of martial arts, yoga and calisthenics to create this holistic system of moving. Mm. So we studied all different avenues really of movement and how the body can move. But it was really through the mobility that I gained a lot of what I offer now, in that emotion is stored in your body. You store emotion in your body. And you'll generally tend to feel this as a pain. You know, it's there for such a long time, this emotion, but it will go to the weakest part of your body, manifest, and if you don't do anything about it, it comes out as a pain.
That's so true as well. And also you can kind of hold it in your solar plexus, which is your kind of your chakra, which is around your belly area. So that's so true. Like you say, you're holding, that's where we hold our creativity, isn't it? Your solar plexus, and you're holding that. So I can totally resonate when you say that. That really makes sense to me in terms of holding your pain and holding things in your body. And some people hold it in other areas. Some people may hold it in their heart chakra, for example, as well. And I suppose as you start working through it, that's really interesting. That's really interesting how that can really help. So what was your most, just looking at that mixed martial arts, what was the time out of all of those different types of movement, what one did you really kind of click with, and what one made you feel the most freest or the most happiest or the most,
the one that I really dug was the calisthenics. But in hindsight, it was my addiction to wanting to be stronger and not believing I was strong enough. Brilliant. Because I absolutely, when I returned home, I absolutely caned it at the calisthenics. I was on there, you know, I got up to 10 pull-ups, which is pretty good going. And but then I got injured because I saw myself as still not being strong enough. So I pushed and pushed and pushed. The one that freed me the most, I would say it's a bit of a double-edged sword. The mobility, like I said, when I got down and I felt that shame and I froze, but moving through that, when I just moved, I moved through that shame. So I pushed the boundaries further back. Does that make sense?
Oh gosh, yeah, no, totally, totally. And I think for me, it was just a light bulb moment when you said that you pushed your body to a certain level and then you got an injury. And spiritually, that's what happens, isn't it? You know? Yeah. These injuries come up when you're working through stuff. And there is a connection. Some people may be listening and thinking, what? But when you're working through stuff, sometimes these things come up. And it's almost saying, you're there, stop, reflect, and then move forward. So that for me is fascinating. Really fascinating that you're working. And then just shows to me the power of movement. And as you said, the power of letting go. And it sounds to me that's what you were doing. You were letting go of your trauma during that movement. That's really powerful, Abby. Really powerful. Really powerful. Yeah.
I just want to bring up one of the biggest breakthroughs that I had. I returned. I started to get really into menstrual cycle health for women.
Yeah.
And I realised I used to suffer with such painful periods. Really painful. And I remember working in my corporate days, I was in so much pain, but I used to go for runs most lunchtimes. And I remember going onto the computer and Googling, should you go for a run if you have really bad period pains? And all of these, you should give it a go, it will help. And I remember going for this 5-mile run, coming back, and my friend saying, did it help? And I was like, no, it's still so painful. When I reflect back, and I've done a lot of work with other women, the when I was growing up, because I was in such a hostile environment, my body didn't trust that environment to want to reproduce. Because obviously, as soon as you start your periods, you're able to reproduce.
Yes.
But my body knew that the environment wasn't safe to have a child. So the tension, my body was fighting its natural rhythm because of what was happening in the environment around me. And so I created painful periods because it was a memory. Every time my period came on, it remembered, it's not safe out there. It's not safe out there. And that's why I would feel such pain. And I would then became addicted to this environment of tension and pressure. So I would put myself in that same experience every single time. I would push, I'd make myself go for a run. I would go out and have the most craziest of nights. because I was recreating that environment, that tense, stressful, fearful environment to feed into my body.
Gosh, Abby, that's just so interesting. And you know what, for me, that's really insightful, because what you're saying is that you're taking ownership of manifesting the period pains that you were having because you weren't able to be in that environment. I think that is, for me, that's quite profound. And also, I think what's lovely listening to you is that you're at a place in your life where you're able to take ownership of it, because a lot of people do the blame thing. A lot of people think, okay, let's go and look for why I'm doing this or why this is happening to me. But actually, when you realize what you're manifesting, then you can really let go of it. For me, that's amazing what you just said there. Really, really amazing. Wow.
A good teacher, Cameron Shane, said to me, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. Mm. And you are 50% responsible for every relationship you have in your life.
Yes.
There are some things that you cannot control, but you can control your relationship to it.
Yes.
You don't have to put up with anything that doesn't make you happy. Mm. But we are told that that's just normal as you get older. You know, you're going to feel this pain. You have to do that. You have to do this. But do you? Do you really? And this is something that's really coming into play with me now. And as having children, I want to communicate with them that they can live a really fulfilling life, and that there will be struggles, but it's not that life's out to get you. Mm. And how are you going to move with that? Are you going to close yourself down, tense your body up, not feel it, push it away? Or can you stand face to face with that and think, what can I do to make this better? What power, what choice can I communicate to make this better? And that is understanding the power of your body. The power of your body. Your body is an anchor for your mind. I honestly believe that when you have an understanding of how your body works, you haven't got to be a bodybuilder, but if you know how your body works, what it needs, it is an anchor to your mind. So your mind doesn't race off all over the place, grabbing and scratching at things. You know, you've got this connection to the earth, to your body, which is your stability, your foundation.
Lovely. And that's about taking control as well, like you say, taking control of what you communicate and taking control and building that foundation for yourself as well as the individual person. Gosh, wow.
Yeah, definitely.
No, I love it, Abby. I'm blown away here, because normally when I'm having these stories and I'm talking to people, it sometimes is the opposite, when I can sense that some people may be in a different stage, and that's fine, because there's no judgment here, you know. Everybody's in a different stage in their life or a different process of thinking. But for me, when you get to that point of ownership, responsibility, for me, that's just so profound. And so I just get really excited about it, you know, because then you think, then what can I do? What am I going to do next? So that's my question for you. So, you know, move fast forwarding after kind of dealing with all of this trauma and coming through it and doing the work that you now do. What's next for the work that you do as a movement coach? What's next for you?
So this year I'm launching Project Woman. And Project Woman is all about creating a fulfilling relationship with our bodies so that we can communicate with ourselves, so we understand our needs, and we can communicate with life so that we don't think it's out to get us. But most importantly, I want this to enable us to communicate with men from a place of clarity, confidence, and compassion.
Love that.
You know, we men and women both live on this planet, and we cannot keep separating ourselves. Now, people will say, but you've put Project Woman, but in the word woman, there is the word man.
Love
so
that.
This is open to any man that wants to understand the woman in their life. You know, you have a mother, you might have a sister, you might be married to a wife, whatever. But it's about taking responsibility for our movement, but also having fun.
You know, can I just do this? I'm going to clap, yeah? Applause for that. I love that. The reason, because the whole idea of like, that whole thing of, you know, learning how to understand your woman. And it's not that you're putting a woman over a man or that sort of thing, but you are a woman, so you're coming from a point of view of a woman. And the fact that you're doing a workshop and you're doing all of this stuff for everyone, I just think that's beautiful. Beautiful, ain't it? I just, oh, love it. I absolutely love it. Sorry, I just had to clap there. So just getting clarity, confidence, compassionate, you know. And I think there are some men out there as well who are totally in touch with their feminine side, but I think this would be good for the men that are more masculine, and to help them to open up, because we all have the masculine, feminine. And I mean, just before we got on the conversation here, we were talking about the Marvel characters, weren't we? And the well, you said to me, just to share with the group, you said to me, you know, it feels like Superwoman, because I know I just dropped the kids off from school and I started doing this podcast with you, and I was like, were talking about, you know, being in your session for phonics, and I was saying, God, we're like Superwomen. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to take Superwoman, I'm going to be She-Hulk. I just have to share that, because I think that's just brilliant. And it's about it, because, you know, as a woman, we have our masculine as well as our feminine. And, you know, once we kind of recognise that there's two sides to us as human beings, and we entwine with this Project Woman that you're doing, I just think that's so exciting. I'm so excited about it. So when does all of this kick off? When does it all start?
So Project Woman, the first workshop for this year is the 19th of March, which I hope you're still coming to, Tanya.
Of course, most definitely, yeah. I'm going to be there.
It's at the Ace Hotel in Shoreditch. So this evening we've got a really awesome nutritionist, Tiffany Rowlands, that's going to come in and just chat about happy eating. And then we've got a live DJ playing some seriously awesome tunes to get us moving. And
brilliant.
It's broken down into three little sections as intros, really. I want to get you to enjoy your movement. So we're going to have a little play with movement. Then we're going to discuss and feel about holding that emotion in the body and what we can do to let it go and how it can improve the way that we exercise and move. And then finally, we're going to be discussing movement for your menstrual cycle to support your hormonal system. But it's all based on a lot of fun. You know, I think we have so much burden almost that we forget about the fun side of things.
Oh, learning, gosh, is fun. Totally.
So it's really important.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask, is there going to be any Afro beat there?
I'll put some in for you, don't you worry.
It's all about the music, isn't it? It's all about the music, as you said, the fun, you know, because I know that motivates me, the music motivates me, the tunes are there. Oh, God, you know what? That sounds like such a release and something which we just need in everyday life. Everybody needs to kind of just dance around and release and kind of just be in your bodies, because we're in our bodies every day, but we're not in our bodies. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Completely. Like you say, we numb out. And, you know, that's a learned behaviour. We've got so much going on. We've got so much we've got to do. We just need, like you said, that opportunity just to release and let go and enjoy ourselves.
Oh, no, totally. And I think that's just a great way to end the show. But before I end, is there anything inspirational or a quote or anything that you want to leave with my audience before I say goodbye?
Sharing the words of Cameron Shane of Budokan, the way you do anything is the way you do everything, from the micro to the macro. You know, the way that you walk down the street is a communication to how you talk to people and experience life. So start feeling into that, because it's so important and it will change your life. It will change your life.
Brilliant, brilliant. I love that. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Abby. There is so much learnings from this conversation that I've just had with you. And I feel that a lot of people also get a lot of learnings just by listening to you be so honest and open. And thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your liveliness. And thank you for your fun.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much. Thanks, Tanya.
Thank you. And from Tanya the Communication Doctor and Abby Adams, adios. One of my takeaways from today's show was that upgrading the way we communicate will really help us to move forward. The other takeaway is about communication also being something physical
something where you can use movements to deal with your pain. And also the whole idea of mixed movement and letting go of that emotional pain just through dance, just through movement in that sense. Because sometimes, as Abby was talking about earlier, we can store the pain in our bodies. And when we store it in our bodies, it suppresses our feelings and can also affect our health. So the biggest takeaway is to allow yourself to let go. Allow yourself to be empowered by your body and communicate with your body, mind, and your soul. Thanks for listening.